Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We are chatting about the NBA playoffs going on right now, and also Monday, the draft lottery. Hopefully those ping pong balls fall in the Pelicans' favor. To help us break it all down, one of our favorites, Odyssey Sports NBA Insider, Nick Friedell. Insider calls brought to you by Hyundai, where you put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Nick, how you doing today, man? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing great, and it's always great to be with you guys.
I appreciate you, man. And like, we're looking at these playoffs in the second round. We're, you know, kind of nutty with these home teams. We're not being so successful early on. We've gotten a few wins now, but seeing what's happened with the Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics have easily been the biggest surprise right now, the second round of this NBA playoffs going on.
Completely. I mean, the Cavs, I was never that high on.
Right.
I've never believed that they were going to get all the way through the East, and especially with the injuries that they're dealing with now, it feels like a really, really rough place for them to try to get through this series against the Pacers. The Celtics thing, that just stuns me, because I have believed and still believe, as we get set for Game 3 here tomorrow, the Celtics are just a better team than the Knicks, top to bottom. Talent-wise, they match up well. They have, you would think, what can slow down New York, but the Knicks have toughness. Over and over, we have seen them go down 20 in these games, and they start knocking down shots. Jalen Brunson is an unbelievably clutch player. It's why he won the award in the league this season. But when you watch them, you think, I just can't get over the fact that they're missing all these shots, and you would think that there'd be a regression back to the mean for both sides. So the Cleveland one, that was a complete meltdown in Game 2. They do not look like a team that is ready-made to go roll through Indiana four games straight and get the series back. The Boston one is a shocker, but I still think they have enough talent to get through this series, but that means that tomorrow at Madison Square Garden is going to be an insane atmosphere, and it's going to be really, really tough for them to do it.
Yeah, I've seen some memes comparing the current Cavs to the Hawks rosters that won all those games and never did anything in the playoffs, the Jeff Teague Hawks, and it's like they're in danger of becoming that if they don't, you know, turn things around in this series. What do you make of the Kristaps Porzingis situation? It just seems so bizarre to not know in this big of a moment why the star center that you paid all that money and kind of is the X factor, in my opinion, that is impossible to match up with, is just, you know, not able to play. Like, he's not visibly ailing, but apparently he's having upper respiratory issues. I don't know. It just seems like such a bizarre side plot to what has been this terrible collapse of these last two games.
It is, and I think the point is very well taken, because the issue for the Celtics, and we saw it certainly at times last year when they went all the way and won, Porzingis brings just a completely different element to that team. He stretches out the floor. He can knock shots down from the outside. He can get in front of guys because he is such a big body. And to not really know, it's just weird. It's a weird situation. But in the moment, they just have to go with what they have and go with who's available and who's healthy enough to get out there. But I'm with you in this sense. In this day and age, it's just a weird situation to see this kind of thing play out. But the Celtics have enough talent that even without Porzingis, if they made a couple more shots in both of these games, we're not even having the conversation, because they've gotten through one and two. They did what they were supposed to do. But now you've got to figure if he doesn't come back, I mean, I keep saying I think Boston's going to win and Boston's going to do it. But if he doesn't come back at that same level we're used to seeing, well, then you start to believe that maybe this is the next time and maybe we are headed for a New York in the Eastern Conference Finals again in the postseason like we did in the good old days.
Yeah, you know, in the 25 for 100 from three-point range for the Celtics is not only wild, it's also an NBA record for the most taken threes and missed threes in a two-game stretch. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk this year about, is all this three-point shooting bad for the game? I don't know. I don't know if it's bad for the game necessarily, but what do you think? I think it's boring to watch. Like, I think one of the reasons it can be hard to sell the NBA at times. It's like it becomes a three-point shooting competition. Because like you said, like the Celtics make a couple of these threes. They win both these games. But it's still like, you know, okay, you have a wide-open lane to the hoop, but you're just standing there bricking your 10th three of the night if you're Jason Tatum. I don't know. Like, I think the product does suffer to some extent when you are just chucking threes the way the Celtics do.
I absolutely agree, especially aesthetically, the way the game is played now. And this is certainly deeper than just the Celtics in this moment. But we've seen it for the last few years, guys. I mean, teams just chuck up threes. The analytics say three is more than two. And
yeah, even if you
miss a few three-pointers, then keep chucking. You know, they'll fall down eventually. For the viewer, though, and for the fan who's sitting in the arena, it does look a little bit boring. What I would say as the counterpoint specific to the Celtics conversation now is it's so clear the intensity is so much different in the playoffs, and it's tangible when you're watching these games on the television. It just matters a little bit more to all these guys. And to me, on top of the three-point issue, which is a very, very large problem in the regular season, the NBA has got to find some way to ramp up the intensity level just a little bit in these regular season games so that they look more like these postseason games. I don't remember if it was Mike Breen or one of the other announcers in the last couple of weeks, but he said playoff basketball looks like a different sport. And it really is the truth. And I think part of that is the intensity, and part of it is we're not seeing as many threes, but to what we're talking about with Boston, that is the game plan. That is how they choose to operate. And they are going to live and die by the three. And through two games, they've died by it.
Nick, looking at the West side of things, Thunder and Nuggets, Timberwolves and Warriors all evened up at a game apiece. Denver was able to steal that one game in OKC and then just got throttled in the second matchup. And when we saw for the Warriors, Steph Curry go down, figured things weren't going to be easy for Golden State now going forward in that series, but the Timberwolves still not looking that impressive.
They are not, and if you're a Warriors fan, guys, all you have to hope is that they can find a way to win one of these next two in San Francisco. Because if you do that, you open up the runway a little bit more for Steph to potentially return. The thing that scares me for the Warriors, though, if you're dealing with a hamstring injury, and certainly we've seen it in the NBA, but this is anywhere. This is the NFL. This is baseball. If you've got a hamstring injury, that is just about the trickiest thing that you can have to come back from, especially in this short of a timeline. Because if this were the regular season, I'd step out at a minimum 2-3 weeks because they're not going to mess with it because they're going to say, we don't want him to re-injure it and then sit out longer. Of course, the postseason changes the elements here a little bit, but I just don't know when he does return, if he's able to come back in this series, if he even looks the same, because his game is built on cutting and shooting from all over the place and changing direction. And when you've got a hamstring injury, that is a real big problem. So I think the Warriors are in trouble. As much as I like Jimmy Butler and the core of that team, even though Minnesota has looked great. And on the other side, OKC has been so good for so long this season. I think that Jokic can get one of these games in Denver. To me, guys, he's still the best player in the game. it would just still surprise me if OKC didn't find a way to win this series and at least get themselves to the Western Conference Finals.
Insider Call is brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second.
Nick, I'm a hop in here. The draft lottery is officially a couple nights away. On Monday night, it's going to be a big one. I want to get your thoughts on some of the top prospects. I know we've had you on before. It's a really good draft class, which is like the shining light of the Pelicans having a 21-win season this past year, is that they're likely going to get a stud prospect at the top of the draft, especially if they get lucky and roll the 50-50 and get into the top four. But first and foremost, we've talked to you already a little bit about Cooper Flagg, the quote-unquote gold chip prospect of this draft class. I just want to get your evaluation of him and what makes him so special.
Totally. I think the key with Cooper Flagg is when you watch him play, he plays already at this age like the top-tier stars in the league, in that he can get to the rim, he can hit from the outside, he's a difference maker in a variety of different areas. And I think the best way to answer the question about Flagg, for people who haven't paid as much attention to the college game, when you start talking to NBA personnel across the league and Cooper Flagg's name gets brought up, the list of people that they'd be willing to trade right now to get him is very, very long. There just aren't a lot of guys that are like him and can have that type of immediate impact. And when you're in those kind of draft situations, those are the guys that you look for the most. We saw in the hype with Wembanyama a couple years ago. Certainly, y'all understand down there in New Orleans what Zion could be. I don't think he's going to be that player anymore, but the hype that comes when you get that type of guy and how quickly things can change when it happens. Cooper Flagg, when he comes in the NBA, is instantly going to be one of the very best players. And it is crazy to think that it could happen that fast for him to elevate, but that is what NBA people are banking on, that not only is he really, really good right now and he's going to help a team immediately, 2 or 3 years from right now, if he can stay healthy, he is going to be one of the very best stars that the NBA offers.
A 12.5% chance, Nick, for those lottery balls to fall the Pelicans' way, and I will be dreaming about
it. That's all it takes.
Oh, yeah, it really is. But, I mean, I wanted to also get your thoughts because you talked about the folks that don't necessarily pay attention to college hoops, and what's really fascinating about this draft class is because it's so highly touted, but at the same time, the next two guys on the list for a lot of folks, at least number two, is kind of solidified, I think, with Dylan Harper from Rutgers, but Ace Bailey, the forward from Rutgers as well. Like, Rutgers was terrible this past year. They didn't even make the NCAA tournament. For the folks that watched Duke get all the way to the Final Four, you kind of got a little bit of an experience of Cooper Flagg, even if you didn't pay attention during the regular season. But for the folks that didn't get a chance to watch Rutgers this year, I want to get your thoughts first and foremost on Dylan Harper, the point guard, the big point guard, the son of Ron Harper. He's got the NBA bloodlines there. But I want to get your thoughts on him because it feels like he's established himself as that number two guy in this draft.
There's no question. And Charlie, when you watch Harper play, he has the ability to hit you a little bit from the outside, but he can be physical. He can get to the rim. And I think the bloodline part is key because if you have been in an NBA setting all your life as the son of Ron Harper, and you know what to expect when you get into the league, I don't think the learning curve then becomes as great as it usually is for any top prospect. So I think that is a part of it. But the point about Rutgers is important here, because if you have Dylan Harper, who it seems is going to be the number two pick, and Ace Bailey, we'll see where he falls in the top five, the top ten, wherever. How in the world is that team still so bad this year? I mean, that's what scares me. We saw Ben Simmons 2 years back at LSU, and we see how his career has played out after a really good start. But the flip side is, Ant Edwards at Georgia, they really didn't do much, and that dude is unbelievable. So that factors into all of this as well. As far as Harper and Bailey, give me Harper from what I've seen every single time. Bailey has the talent. You wonder when you watch him if he has the ability in the NBA to do it night after night after night. And that is the difference, guys. To me, when you watch Cooper Flagg, there's not much of a question that he's going to be able to put those type of performances together every night. With Harper, he has that type of talent to learn how to be that guy every night. After that, that's where I think the drop-off becomes, at least for any star player, that's going to be able to have that type of immediate impact that any team wants when they get those high picks.
And then with Bailey, right before we let you run, Nick, I mean, I've seen some tape on him. My friend and I have different like thoughts on what his NBA comp is. I talked with you about this off air that, you know, his measurement at next week's combine, which is going to be in your backyard in Chicago, is going to be a huge deal. If he comes in at 6'8", like that's a lot different than him coming in at 6'10", because I don't know about you, but when I watch him, I kind of see BI a little bit. Like they always talk about, oh, the shot selection with Ace Bailey's kind of up in the air. He takes a lot of tough shots, but he also is pretty good at making those tough shots. And he's got an advanced game offensively, but, you know, it goes back to like the analytics of the shots that he's taking. Just want to get your thoughts on Ace Bailey as well.
Well, I think Bailey has the ability, but Charlie, again, that's what scares me. And I mean, you and I have talked about BI for several years now. A really, really talented player. But do you know exactly what you're getting from him every single time? I mean, I think Brandon Ingram, if Bailey can hit close to where Brandon Ingram is, more power to him. That makes a lot of sense. I just don't think Bailey is that type of player or has shown to be yet. And he's got the talent to kind of piece it together. But again, when you talk to the scouts, you talk to the people that watch Rutgers a lot during the regular season, they said there were nights when he showed you all the different things that he could do and was really, really talented. And then there were nights that he just kind of disappeared. And those are the nights that would scare any draft person in the league, because what you need from any type of prospect is the consistency to deliver. Even if you're not knocking down those shots, play some defense, do other things. And that's what scares me the most about Bailey. He is not ready-made, certainly like Cooper Flagg, but I don't even think it's that close between where he's at and where his teammate Harper's at from Rutgers.
Nick, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much. Love hearing you break down ball, and have a great weekend, man.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider Calls brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.